So they're in Psalm 37. Look at verse number 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. The title for the sermon this afternoon is What the Lord Knows About You. What the Lord Knows About You. Now, obviously the Lord knows everything. The Lord knows everything there is to know about you, of course, and knows even beyond all of that. His understanding is perfect. But I was just thinking about, the Lord's given us this life to live, and it's good to you know, like this morning, you know, we want to make sure that we set Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. And I want you to also be aware that, you know, even though we are serving Jesus Christ, we are serving our Lord and Creator, Christ cares about you. Like the Lord thinks about you. There are certain things that He's aware about in your life, and I want to share with you what some of those things are. Psalm 37 verse 18, it says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright." So what I've got today, six things that the Lord knows about you in your life. And I want you to just meditate upon this afternoon. The very first thing that we see there is that the Lord knows your days. The Lord knows your days. You know, sometimes we don't even remember what we did yesterday. Sometimes people tell me, "Hey, Pastor Kevin, remember this time 2 years ago when you said this or we did that?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I can't really remember. I don't really recall." Or, "Yeah, I kind of remember what that was about." But the Lord knows about every single day of your life, and He knows every day you will live. You know, the Lord knows how many days you've got yet to live before you pass on and go into eternity. The Lord knows your days. What good is there for the Lord to know your days? Well, as human beings, we have limited understanding. You know, we don't know how much we're going to live. You know, you're not guaranteed to live tomorrow, to see tomorrow. We don't know that. We don't know what might happen, right? But the Lord knows, and I have great comfort knowing that the Lord knows exactly when I'm going to perish. That means I'm pretty much unstoppable until that day comes. You know, I can serve Him mightily until that day comes. But the Lord knows our days. You know, He knows how many days we've got left. And, you know, you might want to turn there, keep your finger there, and actually you don't need to keep your finger there. Come with me to Psalm 90. You don't need to keep your finger there. We're not coming back to Psalm 37. Come with me to Psalm 90. And verse number 12, Psalm 19, verse number 12. I really like this verse. It really is a verse that I stop and meditate on in my own personal life. But it says in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The psalmist is telling God, "Teach us to number our days. Lord, I don't know how many days I've got. You know how many days I've got left. Lord, you know what I've done with my life. You know whether I'm on track. You know whether I've been living within your will or not. But teach us. Help us to understand that our days are numbered. And for what purpose?" Well, that psalm says there in verse number 12, "that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You see, you've got a limited time on this earth. And God wants you to think about every day that we live. You know, we should not just waste the days. You know, we should not just live the days for ourselves. We should be looking for wisdom every day we live. You know, wisdom that we can take from the Lord, yes, but wisdom is more than just your understanding. You know, wisdom is really the application of the knowledge that God has given you. God wants us to live this life and every day we live in wisdom. I'm going to quickly read to you. You say there in Proverbs 2:6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." But then it says this, "Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You see, wisdom is different from knowledge, and knowledge is different from understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is the ability to acquire knowledge. Okay? If knowledge is presented to you, understanding will help you acquire that information for yourself. That's what understanding is. Okay? Knowledge is knowing the facts about a situation, okay? But wisdom is the application of that knowledge. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. And so God wants us to number our days. We haven't got forever to live. We have a limited time span. The Lord knows how long it is, and He wants you to apply it to knowledge. Meaning, to wisdom. Not just to knowledge, acquiring information, but what are you going to do with that information? How are you going to act upon that information? See, one of the problems we have with our school system is that it's built around knowledge gathering. You know, those that are considered to do academically well are those that have the ability, you know, that have the understanding, have the ability to acquire as much knowledge and to retain as much knowledge, so then when they do a test, they can give the right answers. But the school system does not teach wisdom. What is the application of that? What does it mean? You know, I mean, I recall, and my wife tells me herself, you know, we remember our days in school where you may have a child that is very academic, right? They get A, you know, they're always getting A's in class. You know, they have a great knowledge, they have great, you know, understanding. But then in life, they're kind of clueless. Have you ever come across someone like that? In life, they just don't seem to function in life. They can't seem to achieve in life. Yeah, they're able to gather information, but for what purpose? That's the problem with the school system. It's like, well, that's a good student. You're going to be successful in life because you can get knowledge. What's the point of knowledge if you can't apply the wisdom, if you can't apply it to your life? And brethren, it's the same thing with church. What's the point of being a hearer if you're not going to be a doer? What's the point of hearing and knowing doctrine if you're not going to apply the doctrine in your life? If you're not going to make the change in your life, what's the point? Just so someone says, oh yeah, that person has a lot of knowledge about the Bible. So what? What are you doing with that knowledge? Are you living a victorious Christian life? Look, I'd rather know half the things of the Bible and do half the things of the Bible than to know all of the Bible and do nothing of it. I mean, it's the application, it's the wisdom, it's living day by day that actually benefits me in the long run. And that brings us back to the verse that we read originally. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. The second part said, and their inheritance shall be forever. So God knows that we got limited days, but we do have a forever. We do have an eternity that we're looking to live, and God wants us to give us an inheritance in eternity to come. But you know what? The greater your inheritance, you can increase your inheritance. You can increase your rewards in heaven. How do I do that, Pastor? By numbering your days and applying it unto wisdom. God's wisdom. Doing what God wants. And He will reward you. And your inheritance in heaven will be even greater. So that's what God knows about you. He knows your days. So how have you been using your days? You know, are you applying the wisdom of God day by day as you live? Say, Pastor, yes, I am a hearer. I'm not really a doer, but I'm just getting ready for that day to come. You know, sometime in the future. Sometime in the future, I'll read my Bible cover to cover. Sometime in the future, I'll go soul winning. Sometime in the future, right? Whatever it is that you believe that you need to do in God's Word. Sometime I'll do it in the future. But your days are numbered. You haven't got, don't know if you've got next week. You don't know if you have next month. Apply your wisdom today, what God has given you. Do it today. You know, I kind of think of this like cramming for an exam. Again, back to school illustrations. Have you ever not studied and just like on the last night before your exam or test, you've crammed for your exam? Okay? Well, that's kind of the Christian that keeps putting off the wisdom, applying the wisdom. Yeah, I've got knowledge. One day I'll do. Yeah, well, when you figure out that your days are short and there's not much time left for you to serve the Lord, you're going to try to cram for the exam. But you're not going to be effective. You're better off just doing a little bit at a time. You know, you don't want to overwhelm yourself. You don't want to become weary in well-doing, right? But just take a few basic things from God's Word, make necessary changes, apply the knowledge, do the things that God wants you to do, bit by bit, little by little, okay? And you'll increase your inheritance to come. The Lord knows your days. Come with me to Luke chapter 16. Come with me to Luke chapter 16, please. What else does the Lord know about you? Luke 16, verse 13. Luke 16, verse 13. Luke 16, verse 13. The Bible says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I was originally going to have this in my sermon in the morning. Who's your Lord, money or Jesus Christ? But I want you to notice, as we keep going here, okay, it says in verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. All right, so Jesus Christ says, look, who do you serve? Do you serve your money, or do you serve Jesus Christ? And the Pharisees know, man, we are after money. That's what the Pharisees, you know, and it's bothering them that Jesus Christ is teaching this. But look at verse 15. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men, that's money, chasing money, is abomination in the sight of God. Brethren, what's the second thing that we learn this afternoon that the Lord knows? The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your heart. Look, the Pharisees, the scribes, where are they? They're in the house of the Lord. They're in the temple. They're the religious leaders. Brethren, I see you this morning, this afternoon, I should say, here in the house of the Lord. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're here for the right reasons. But I don't know your heart. I don't know if you really want to be here. Maybe you don't want to be here. Maybe your heart prefers other things than the house of the Lord. Well, Jesus Christ says, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other. You know what? If you're not here in the house of the Lord for Jesus, then you hate Jesus. You've got some other thing that you love. And brethren, the Lord knows. I don't know your heart. I don't know it. And sometimes we don't even know our own hearts. Okay? But the Lord knows your hearts. Okay? If the Lord knows your hearts, then you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, reveal to me what is in my heart. Reveal to me, even I may not be aware, right? What's a passage? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, it's, you know, we can't always understand what's taking place in our heart. And so it's good to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know my heart. Please reveal to me if there's any wicked way in me. We're talking about money here. They were serving mammon. They were chasing the money. They were in the ministry for the money, for the finances. And, you know, I'll quickly read to you this familiar passage. You all know it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Look, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Okay? We need money. We need to buy things. We need to sell things. We need to function. But the love of money is the root of all evil. What does your heart love? Does your heart love Jesus or does it love money? You cannot have two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other. I'm asking you, which one do you love? The Lord knows your heart. It continues in that verse, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What's going to happen when you start to love money? You're going to err from the faith. You're going to start backsliding. You're going to start getting far from the Lord. You're going to stop caring about the things of the Lord. And then pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You're going to have unnecessary sorrows. Unnecessary problems. The Lord knows your heart. Now look, this is not saying that you should never think about money. In fact, I'll be honest with you, the last few months, I've been thinking about money a lot. Not because I love money. It's because I've got a big family. Right? There are bills to pay and I need to make sure I can make ends meet. I've got to make sure I take care. But why is that? Why, you know, nothing wrong. You know, sometimes I'm sitting there, my wife walks into the bedroom and I've got these spreadsheets up, you know, trying to figure out how much is coming in this month, you know, what are the bills going to be, you know, what's coming in for church and what are our expenses, and I'm trying to balance the books and all that kind of stuff. But brethren, I really don't love money. I couldn't care less. I don't want a big bank account. I don't want more possessions. The more possessions and the more money you have, it brings more sorrows. It brings more pain. The reason I have to sometimes think of money and consider it, again, because I love my family. And I need to make sure they have what they need to get through life. And guess what else I love? I love my ministry. I love the church. I want to make sure that I've got what I need so I can continue to function as the pastor of New Life Baptist Church and pastor in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The Lord knows your heart. And sometimes I've got to tell the Lord. Like I could be spending a lot of time looking at numbers, looking at things and making sure. And I'd say, Lord, can you just make sure my heart is pure here? I want to make sure that, you know, the reason I'm spending time on this, the reason I've gone to get other work is just to make sure my family has what they need and to make sure it doesn't interrupt with my work life. Sorry, with my ministry is what I'm trying to say. The Lord knows your heart. And it's so hard because this world just bombards you with the whole money game. And people feel inferior, you know, if they're not achieving as much as other people financially. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 44, verse 20, if you can come with me to Acts chapter 1. Can we meet to Acts chapter 1? Point number two, brethren, was the Lord knows your heart. And in Psalm 44, verse 20, it says, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. You know what? If you don't love God with your heart, the Bible says here that the Lord will search you out. Okay? He knows the secrets of your heart. There are secrets in your heart. There are secrets in your mind right now that you know nobody else on the earth knows. And I'm glad no one on the earth knows. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows your heart. You know, if you've done something that needs rectifying, I don't care how secret it is or how you feel like you got away with it, the Lord knows. And the Lord will hold you accountable. Make sure you fix the things that you've damaged, even if nobody else knows. Whatever that is, I don't know what it is in your hearts. The Lord knows your hearts. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 23. Now, this might seem a little bit, you know, a little bit off base here, but not really. This is just talking about the fact that when Judas Iscariot went and hung himself, that they were looking for another man to step into that position as an apostle. And they set these two men here, Joseph and Barsabbas, before the congregation. And well, let's just read it quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed and Matthias. That was the other one. Verse number 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, look at this, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. They're saying, you know the hearts of all men. The reason I quoted this, brethren, is because if you ever want to get into ministry for church, if you ever want to take on an office, a deacon or a pastor or something like that, your heart has to be right. Okay, they're choosing which of these men are going to take on the position that Judas has left. And they said, Lord, can you just, we don't know their hearts. Can you just point out to us who is the one that has the right heart? And look, yes, that's talking about an office. But brethren, we're all called to serve the Lord. We're all called. We're all called to be servants of the Lord. Is your heart right with the Lord? The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your heart. That's point number two. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 2. And verse number 7. So what the Lord knows about you. Number one, the Lord knows your days. The Lord knows your heart. What else does the Lord know? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 7. I'll give you the context very quickly. You know the story, the children of Israel. Right, they came out of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. Did the Lord want them to go to the promised land? Absolutely. Okay, but they rebelled. They pushed back, and the Lord said, "All right, then you're going to wander the wilderness for 40 years, and the next generation can be the ones that go in." All right. So they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't God's ideal plan for them. Okay, that's the consequences of them rebelling against the Lord. But even though they were walking in the wilderness, I want you to notice what it says in verse number 7. For the Lord thy God have blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. Look at this. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. The next point that I have for you, brethren, is the Lord knows your path. The Lord knows your path. Right now, the children of Israel are wandering the wilderness. He knoweth thy wandering through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. I like that a lot. I actually like that a lot. Because they were meant to go to the promised land. The right path was to go into the promised land. They chose the wrong path. They went into the wilderness. And they were stuck there for 40 years. Brethren, the Lord knows your path. Israel chose wrong, didn't they? They chose wrong. But what do we see here? It says, these 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Even while they're on the wrong path, the Lord was still looking out for their best. And I know some of you, because I have conversations with you, will say, Pastor, I've wasted so many years. I've been on the wrong path for so many years. Well, you know what? The Lord was with you those years. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. The Lord knows your path. Now, obviously, the Lord wants us to be on the right path. Obviously, the Lord wants us to be on our way to the promised land. And if you want to take a figurative lesson, the promised land just represents a victorious Christian life, right? Living the best Christian life you can on this earth is a representation of the promised land. But sometimes, instead of being on the path to the promised land, we're in the wilderness. We're wandering about for 40 years in circles, going around and around and around. Is that you? We say, Pastor, the last few years, I've just been wandering around in a circle, 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 circle. I don't seem to be having the victorious Christian life. I don't seem to be having the great spiritual highs that I thought I would have as a Christian. Yeah, maybe you chose the wrong way. Maybe you've been wandering the wilderness. But I want you to know the Lord knows your path. See, eventually, the children of Israel did get into the promised land, right? Their punishment was 40 years in the wilderness, but eventually they went to the promised land. Eventually they got on the right path. And brethren, if the Lord knows your path and is with you, whichever way you go, then he can help you today. If you say, I'm in the wilderness today, Pastor, well, he can get you to the promised land today. He can get you on the right path today. And all I say to you, brethren, is take the right path. Ask the Lord. He knows your path. You may not even know. You may not even realize right now that you're on a wrong path, leading you away from the Lord. Go to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know my path. You know which way my life is headed. Can you please point me to the right way? I want to go to the promised land. And you all know this passage. Proverbs chapter 3, one of the most famous passages in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, the Lord knows your path. The Lord knows your walking. Where are you headed? But you see, whichever way you are, maybe you're in the wilderness. Maybe you are in the promised land. Maybe you're on your way to the promised land. I hope you're not stuck in Egypt. Because being stuck in Egypt represents an unsaved life, basically. Okay, maybe you've just come out of Egypt. Maybe you're recently saved. You're a new convert. But whatever path you're on, the instruction is, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Even if you're in the wilderness today, you know what? You say, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your child. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for never leaving me nor forsaking me. And look, if you acknowledge the Lord in your life, no matter where you are today, he'll get you where he needs you to be. The Lord knows your path. It also said there in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, if you're still there, not only did it say at the end of the verse, these 40 years the Lord thy God have been with thee, it says, thou hast lacked nothing. Thou hast lacked nothing, which brings me to my next point. If you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7, please. What else does God know about us? Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Look at verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The next one that I have for you, brethren, is the Lord knows your needs. The Lord knows your needs. So that's where Israel was in the wilderness, God said they lacked nothing because God knew their needs in the wilderness. Okay? Well, we're commanded here that, or reminded here that we should not pray with vain repetitions like the Catholics do, with the rosary beads, you know, Our Father, Our Father, Our Father, Our Father, Hail Mary, is it Hail Mary? I don't know. Okay. And, you know, also when you pray, try not to just be on this repetitive loop when you pray as well. Don't forget, you're actually speaking to a real being, the creator of all things. Speak to him like, you know, if you spoke to me, we just replay the same conversation over and over and over again. You're like, why are we talking? It's kind of vain repetition, is it not? Just be mindful when you pray to the Lord to speak to him. He wants to hear from you. Okay, he doesn't want to just hear this, you know, record tape playing over and over again, vain repetition. But it says that your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. And I'm sure you all have needs right now. There are things that you're saying, I really need to come this to come through. The Lord knows already. The Lord actually, it says, knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Even before you realize you have this need, the Lord already knew you had that need. Now, this is not saying don't ask him because he already knows. No, you know, I think some people take that view. But before you ask, he knows, but that doesn't negate the need to ask. Okay, it doesn't negate the need to ask. I often wonder how many things does God know I need, and he's got it in his hand right there. Just, there you go. It's right here. Are you going to ask for it? And I go, well, you know I need it, Lord. Yeah, but you're asking for it. But you know I need it, Lord. Yeah, but you're asking for it. How many times do we just not pray for things that we need? And the Lord has it right there in his hands. He's got it ready for us. You need to ask. You need to get in the habit of going to prayer and asking, even though you know the Lord already knows what you need. In fact, he knows better than what you know that you need, right? Many times we may ask of something. We say, Lord, I have a need of X, Y, and Z. And the Lord goes, well, actually, I've thought about this longer than you do. You don't need that. You actually need something else. And he gives you something else to fulfill your requirements. The Lord knows. You know, if I can just give you another personal example, the Lord knew that I needed more work. The Lord knew that I needed more income, you know, for my family. And look, he opened the doors. You guys know that I'm doing part-time cleaning. And I had a, you know, well-meaning brother say to me, Pastor, come on, we can't have you cleaning. Like, you know, that's a kind of low-level job. I don't like the idea of my pastor having to clean. You know, can't you look after yourself by the church? And, you know, didn't like the idea. And I was like, brother, the Lord knows what I need. It's not, I don't look at some low-level job and think, oh, I don't want to do that. I think of it, well, Jesus gave it to me. If I need to increase my income, I don't care what it is. I'll find a way. I'll do whatever I need. And it's not the status that's important to me. It's not the position that's important to me. There was many more things that I needed beyond just an income. I could sit in an office and make more money, but then I'll just put on more weight. The Lord knows I needed a job that requires a little bit of physical movement. Right? And not only that, cleaning requires no mental effort. It's just my hands moving around. So what does that mean? That means I can clean, and at the same time, I can prepare sermons. At the same time, I can strategize. At the same time, I can start thinking about what the church needs. I can be actually working two jobs. My body's doing the cleaning, my head's doing the thinking for things that matter for the Lord God. The Lord knows what I need. And then I come home, and guess what? No stress. It's the kind of job that you do and you don't have to think about it when you get home. There's a lot of jobs that I could do and I come home and I'd be bringing that home with me mentally. So it's not just cleaning. The Lord knows I needed that because it deals with other things that I needed. More so than I realized when I initially went looking for work. And it pays all right. It allows me time to prepare sermons. It allows me time to speak to the Lord. You know, if I really wanted to, I guess I could listen to some podcasts, listen to some audiobooks, I could listen to some sermons. If I wanted to increase my learning, I could do that as well. I mean, there are so many more benefits being a cleaner than getting paid twice as much working in the office. The Lord knows what we need. Can you come with me to Psalm 103? Come with me to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. You know, I hope you're encouraged when you do go to God in prayer and you don't get what you thought you wanted or you thought you needed. The Lord knows what you need. Please just rest in that, okay? Don't take the attitude, oh, God never answers my prayer, or God doesn't give me what I want. If God doesn't give it to you, it's because it's going to cause you harm, okay? Or you're not ready to receive it. Maybe later you're going to receive that. Or God has a better solution for you. But still, God wants to hear from his children that you have need of such things, where you're lacking. You know, open your heart to the Lord and speak to him. Anyway, the next one, Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse number 14. What else does the Lord know? Psalm 103, verse number 14, it says, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." Okay, so the dust represents our body. The frame is there, our body, as it were. So when it says, "For he knoweth our frame," what it basically is saying this is that, point number five, the Lord knows your capability. The Lord knows what you can do in the body that he has given you. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He realizes that we're weak. He realizes that, you know, we're not strong in the body. He knows that, boy, you just walk the street, get hit by a car, and that'd be the end of you. We're just dust. We're very fragile human beings, actually. We have weaknesses. We have sicknesses. Even maybe mental burdens that can cause your physical body to get sick or tired. The Lord knows that we're limited. And again, I like that. If we keep going, look at verse number 15. "For as man, his days are as grass." It's kind of back to the first point, right? You know, we need to number our days. "As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more." I realize that the truth of this passage more so now, because in our house, we've got this garden. And Christine tries to look after it, and you see the flowers come out and they look beautiful. But then you can have like a storm. Like, you can have like heavy weather, and then you look at the garden, it's all fallen over. It's like, what? Like, so much effort and so much beauty originally when it came out, but then all it takes is a wind to pass over it and it's gone. It's destroyed. Looks like the kids have just run through and maybe they have run through and trampled it. I don't know. But that's our life. That's what's comparing our life, our frame. God knows our capability. He knows our weaknesses. So if the Lord knows our capability, he knows what we're able to do, and yet he gives us his word, and he says, do this or do that. Obey this commandment, obey that commandment. Are we capable of doing those things? We have to be able to be. He knows our frame. I've said this in a recent sermon. Why would the Lord ask you to do things that you can't do? It makes no sense. The Lord knows your frame. He knows what you're capable of doing. Like, we can't turn around to God and say, yeah, I know your Bible says that, Lord, but I can't do it. Why? The Lord knows your frame. He wouldn't ask of you. This Bible is a one-size-fits-all book. It covers you. You don't think God didn't think of you when he wrote this book? God knows what we're made of. He knows what we're capable to achieve, what we're able to achieve. And many times, we don't do what God asks of us because we think we're unable. We make excuses. We say, Lord, but I can't because whatever it is. I can't, Lord. My life is like this. What, do you know your frame better than God knows your frame? Do you know your capability better than God knows your capability? The truth is, there are many things we can't do that God asks of us. But that's why it says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think," look at this, "according to the power that worketh in us." Brethren, God can use us to do exceedingly above, abundantly above what we think. God can utilize you more than you realize. "According to the power that worketh in us." Yeah, 100%. In the flesh, doing things by our own strength, our own power, 100%. We can't keep the laws of God. We can't do what God asks of us, 100%. But according to God's power, you can. You can do even more than you realize. See, God knows your capability. He knows your weaknesses. He wouldn't ask you to do something that he can't, that you can't do. But you need to tap into God's power to make it happen. The Lord knows your capability. Can you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1? Come with me to Philippians chapter 1. What I'm saying, brethren, is whatever he commands, you are capable of following through that command. If there's something in the sermon this afternoon that challenges you, you have the capability of making that change. Not in your own strength. You ask God, you're working in me. Give me that power. It says in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to notice this, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Look how it starts. Being confident of this very thing. God wants you to have confidence in what we're about to read. Okay, confidence. No doubts. I know this can happen. Being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will perform this work in you. And God wants you to be confident about it. The Lord knows your frame. The Lord knows your capability. He knows your limitations. But he knows you can do it. And he wants you to have the confidence to know that you can do it. There's nothing wrong with the Lord. Okay? Like, if you're not achieving what God is asking of you in his word, the problem is not with God. He's trying to help you. He's giving you that power. The problem is with us. Because we think we're unable. We think it can't be done. We think we're too weak. We think we have limitations. But that's why the Lord knows your frame. The Lord knows your capability. And so as I go through this, the Lord knows this. The Lord knows. What are the things that the Lord knows? Then if he knows this better than you, then you've got to trust him. You've got to rely on him. The Lord knows better than you. What the Lord knows about you is the title for the sermon this afternoon. Let me go through those very quickly. Number one, the Lord knows your days. Number two, the Lord knows your heart. Number three, the Lord knows your path. Number four, the Lord knows your needs. And what we just looked at, the Lord knows your capability. Number five, the Lord knows your capability. Come with me to 2 Peter now. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. What else does the Lord know about you? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth what? How to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let's focus on that first part though. Because we're not the unjust, we're the saved right now. We've been justified. But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Point number six, brethren, the last point that I have for you. The Lord knows how to deliver out of temptation. Now, before you sin, before you disobey the Lord, before you break his commandments, before that happens, you're tempted to do those things. The temptation comes. Okay, and we're all tempted. You know, we're all made of the same flesh and blood. Many of the temptations in my life are going to be the same temptations in your life. And there are some things that we're better at and not so good at, whatever. You know, if you've got a past life where you've, you know, struggled with a lot of sins, you're going to have greater temptations when those sins come to meet you, where maybe others will not. Like alcohol for me is like a non-issue. I've got to be careful though, can't just smile. Obviously, I've got to be careful, you know, and not set my eyes upon those things. But for me, I was never really into alcohol. In fact, I hated alcohol before I even realized it was something that God did not like. I never liked it. I think it's disgusting, to be honest with you. I didn't even like tasting that stuff. But others that may have been alcoholics or, you know, had certain favorite drinks, they're going to be, and they try to overcome that. Obviously, the temptation to go back that way is going to be much stronger for that individual person. But by and large, a lot of the temptations I have and you have are shared amongst us because we've got the same frailties. But the Lord knows how to deliver out of temptation. So when you are tempted to sin, you have a choice, right? You can't stop the temptation, and Satan is a tempter. Satan and his devils can come along and put things in front of you that, you know, you try to stay away from. Or just temptation simply from the lust of your own heart that you have. Okay? But it's not a sin to be tempted. You need to understand that. That's not the sin. It's giving into the temptation that is the sin. Giving into it. But what's great about this, and look, when you are tempted, there's that danger because it's just one more step in sin. It'd be even better if we didn't have to go for the temptation, wouldn't you say? Even better if we didn't have to go for that temptation. And that's why it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So when you are tempted, brethren, you need to run to the Lord. The Lord knows how to get out of that situation. The Lord knows how to overcome that situation. I love what Jesus Christ says. Remember, the disciples go to Jesus, and they say, "Hey, teach us how to pray." And Christ gives these words in Matthew 6:13. Jesus Christ giving this example. He prays to the Father, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And there's a two-part there. Deliver us not into temptation. Jesus Christ saying, it's better if we don't even get tempted in the first place. And look, if you want to, you know, if you're struggling with temptation, you're struggling with sin, and when the temptation comes, you're so weak and you just give into it, then how about pray to God and say, "God, lead me not into temptation. Help me just get around that so I don't have to even face that temptation in my life." But then if you are tempted, Christ says the next part of that sentence, "But deliver us from evil." So when the temptation comes, well, "Lord, please deliver me. You know, I don't want to do evil. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to harm myself. I don't want to sin against you, Lord." The Lord knows how to deliver out of temptation. You think you're strong enough. By yourself, you're not. By yourself, you will give in to the temptation. By yourself, you will sin against the Lord. You're not strong enough. You need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know how to deliver me out of this temptation." Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me encourage you, brethren, when you're tempted and you're thinking of sinning, you go, "No, I can't, you know, I'm going to do this." And it could be just so natural in your flesh that you just do it without thinking. But if you have a moment just to really collect your thoughts, just as much as you don't want to face God potentially, just cry out to God. Say, "God, you know how to deliver me out of this." And I don't know, you know, there's something about that, just crying out to the Lord and just reminding you that the Lord is looking, the Lord sees, the Lord knows. The Lord knows my frame. He knows my weaknesses. He knows how to deliver me out of this. Maybe quote a Bible verse. Maybe sing a line of a hymn of a praise that you know toward the Lord. And I tell you, somehow it just gives that power to just say no to that temptation. "No, I'm going to walk away and I'm going to serve my Lord. I'm going to please my Lord." Because in your brain, by yourself, you're going, it's just a little thing. I mean, I've sinned all day anyway, so I might as well just give into this one as well. Look, the Lord knows how to deliver you out of temptation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's the whole alcohol example, where I feel like it's got no power over me. I don't even care for that thing. Well, it says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth," yep, I'm standing, "take heed lest he fall." So you've got to be careful. Just because you think you've got victory over certain things and it's not going to bother you, you don't know. Like, in other words, don't play with fire or you'll get burnt, okay? But then it says in verse number 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." See, our temptations are common. Things you struggle with, same things that I struggle with. Like, you're not some weirdo, okay? People struggle with those things too. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Wow. You know when you're tempted, you can't say to God, "That temptation was just too strong, God. I couldn't stop myself." No. God will not allow such temptation to come into you. Every sin you commit, every time you give into temptation, you can't turn around and say, "Well, God, it was out of my control. You know, I was forced to do it." No, you gave into it. God made sure it was at a level where you could overcome it. It says, "And will with the temptation also make a way to escape." There's always a way to escape. There's always a way to not give into that temptation. God makes an opportunity for you. You decide. It's up to you. You either give into it and sin against the Lord, or you find that way of escape. Which one's easier? It's much easier to just give in to the temptation and then just go, "Oh, sorry, Lord, did it again." Now look, the Lord will forgive you. Of course he will. You know, come to him with a broken and contrite heart. Okay, he won't refuse you. You know, confess your sins, but it would have been even better if you just found the escape route. you know, that God had opened. It says that ye may be able to bear it. Look, I know we're all sinners, and I know we're going to sin to the day we die. But the only way to have victory in your life, the only way to improve and be more holy, okay, and to overcome is to just, you've got to beat it. You've got to overcome when the temptation comes. You just got to fight against it. Say, no, Lord, with your strength, what's the way of escape? Show me. And just beat it. And as you beat it and you overcome it, you better overcome bigger temptations in your life and bigger temptations in your life and bigger ones. And your life can become more and more holy, more and more righteous, more and more like Jesus Christ. The Lord knows how to deliver you out of temptation. All right, brethren, I'll wrap it up there. Just in conclusion, very quickly. Number one, the Lord knows your days. Number two, the Lord knows your hearts. Number three, the Lord knows your path. Number four, the Lord knows your needs. Number five, the Lord knows your capability. And number six, the Lord knows how to deliver out of temptation. Okay, let's pray.